how you doing? It's Zach Cassidy.
MH 100.
Steven Prince.
Spotted George.
Adam Henry.
TJ Laramie. And you're listening to Windy City Sports.
Yo, what's good? You're listening to Wind City Sports, Windsor's only local radio program and podcast. You can hear Wind City Sports every Thursday with new episodes and Mondays with replays on CJAM 99.1 FM in Windsor and Detroit. Thank you for downloading the podcast version of Wind City Sports. You can find us on SoundCloud, iTunes, anywhere podcasts are found. Search up Wind City Sports and you'll easily be able to find us. We're also on We Podcast, the Windsor local subscription service dedicated to all local podcasts, and our new YouTube channel with some exclusive videos, old interviews, and new interviews uploaded sporadically. Today is Thursday, April 26, 2018, and it is episode 93 of Wind City Sports. Right off the bat, I want to thank anyone that came out to Villains Bistro for the CJAM Jammy Awards on Friday night, and anyone that voted for Wind City Sports for the best talk show of 2018. Along with the Handy Link from Cam Wells, Wind City Sports is named one of your CJAM's best talk shows for 2018. So we did it. We are still the reigning and defending champion, at least one half of the best talk show for the CJAM Jammy Awards here at CJAM FM. Unfortunately, I was a little sick that day and that weekend, really. It kind of sucked, but I was really looking forward to it, and I was able to come out and accept the award on behalf of Wind City Sports and to see everyone and thank the CJAM staff, which I'm going to do again. Without them, I wouldn't be able to do it, and they never would have given me the opportunity. I never would be doing what I'm doing now and running with it. One thing I wanted to touch upon and didn't really get to, but Wind City Sports is a community-driven thing. It's not just me that's doing this. It's everyone that has taken part in an interview or helped set up or that's listening or that's contributing to it in any way, that's active on social media or anything. You are all helping Wind City Sports be what it is, and I hope that you're enjoying it, and I am providing you with some fairly entertaining content. So let's jump right into episode 93 now. You know, we'd like to do some local interviews with local athletes and coaches, and this week we're talking yet again to the owner of the Windsor TFC Soccer Club, Vancho Sorovsky. This is his third consecutive year being on the show, and like I said, we'd like to talk to some athletes and coaches, but also entrepreneurs and even business people in the sports world here in Windsor and surrounding area. If you haven't heard Vancho on the show before, you can always go back and listen to those episodes. We'll talk about that later on. But it seems that every year at the beginning of the season, we have him on to talk about the team. Obviously, the first year is kind of introductory, as they had just signed the agreement with the Toronto FC, the Toronto Football Club, an affiliation with them, running camps and recruiting players and whatnot. And then the second year last year, we just basically caught up with them to see about any changes that had been made in the team's logistics and management, and talked about the Windsor TFC Academy, which we also talk about in this interview. So basically, we get caught up with him and talk about last year's season a little bit, talk about the upcoming season, what to expect from the team, and what they're putting into it as a management perspective. And the beauty about the podcast version is, if you're listening on the radio, you got to hear that CJAM PSA, the disclaimer, and the station ID. Here, you do not. And we're going to jump right into the interview portion of the show right now with the Windsor TFC Soccer Club owner, Vancho Sorovsky.
Cool. So, again, I just want to pick up where we left off last year, starting with how the season went for the Windsor TFC. Tell me, from your perspective, how the 2017 season went.
Well, I mean, I think that it was a mixed bag, again, because of the level of inconsistency in terms of the roster from the start of the season to the end of the season. We had a pretty decent start, and you know, competing with almost all the teams and had a nice little spell of wins. But as we got into the middle of the season and we lost almost 11 players to the university, we really trailed off. And so good first part of the season, and not so well in the second half, again, because of the issue of an inconsistent roster.
Mm-hmm. I didn't realize that, actually, but I was kind of going over last year's season record and whatnot, just kind of refreshing my memory, and it noticed a little stretch there of losses. So I guess that kind of goes towards it. And actually kind of want to bring that up later on. Some other guys had jumped over to the Lancers this year. But ultimately, you guys did not make playoffs last year?
No, we did not make playoffs last year. And the season is going to change this year. So the way that we're going to be, so the chances are it's possible this year, you know, more of an opportunity than last year, because we're going into sort of a format that 16 teams, the top eight, will finish and in a position to be in the playoffs. And the playoffs will be played in two groups of four in a Champions League type format.
Oh, cool.
Where the two winners will play in the championship. But again, it was a tough season last year, and because of the stuff that we just discussed, it was a challenge for us to put a consistent performance and ended up not qualifying for the playoffs.
Mm-hmm. There's always going to be challenges and barriers to overcome, of course. But are you guys set on making the playoffs this year, or are you guys fine-tuning other things and kind of not focusing on that at the moment?
Well, look, we are, you know, we exist to give kids opportunities to play at the highest level. So that, you know, our primary reason for being is to provide experience to players that aren't, you know, readily available, and it takes a lot of effort, and that is to play in the highest league in Ontario, and that's League One.
Absolutely.
So secondarily, of course, you compete and you want to win, but we recognize the limitations. Mm-hmm. We recognize the effort that it takes from all the kids that are here. It's a lot of commitment, and it's a lot of up and down the highway, and they've been doing it since they were 14, 15, or 16 if they were really good players, and now we're asking them to do it in their 20s. And it's a challenge. So we need a bigger roster. We need more commitment. And so, you know, our primary goal isn't to compete to win. It's our primary goal is to compete and be consistent. Mm-hmm. And if we can do that, if we can have consistency in our program, I think we'll be able to generate enough as the years go and start competing for the title. Now, if we had a significant investment, and we said, let's change our format. Let's not just be an amateur team that is providing the best experience at the highest level. Let's try to put together a club that will win. Well, let me just go and recruit some talent that may or may not be found here that can commit for a full time, for a full year. That means more investment. That means really paying players to play. We're not quite there yet. Mm-hmm. And this is what we're facing with the teams in Toronto. They are actually making a commitment to become a little bit more semi-pro and more on the pro side than amateur side, and that's the direction. So we have to really rethink for the long term, you know, what our goals are, and if we have the ambition to move forward, then we have to find a way to invest more in our players.
Yeah, I see what you're saying, and even we talked about that last year with the recruitment process and the scene in Windsor. There's tons of soccer players in the surrounding area. So like you said, you're always going to have kids coming in. And that brings me to the Windsor TFC Academy, which really expanded last year, we talked about. But you guys, you're still doing that and still providing those camps and stuff in and around Windsor?
Right. So the Academy is essentially all of our junior teams. And so now we have a U18 team that is helpful at times with several players stepping up to play on the first team. We have a U17 team. We also have a U14 team. The U17 team is coached by Kevin Pollard and Gino Bordelon. The U18 is, of course, my partner, Anthony DeMille. And John Carvalho is coaching the U14 team. We also have an arrangement with Tecumseh Soccer Club on a joint project for this year at the U13 level, because we are the West Region Soccer League representatives, and they had some players that we were both competing for, we agreed to collaborate and put the boys and girls teams in that age group in the West Region team. So we get a little more collaboration. So there's quite a few. Now we have essentially six teams under our wings, and next year we'll have four more. So we're building out the base and the foundation to continue to support League One play and to expose all our kids to the best quality soccer in Ontario. Mm-hmm.
And that's where it all comes from. It all grows from the roots, right? So if you start at the bottom, it's going to build up.
That's it. That's it. You got to have a really good and deep foundation. And for me, again, I don't think I can say it enough. We need to have consistency in how we manage and what we do from year to year and let this growth really stabilize.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's a huge factor in any team, any organization, anything you want to relate it to, right?
Mm-hmm.
So from your standpoint, do you get to see a lot of the development and the players coming from those camps and stuff and making it to League One?
Well, I think in the future I can see that happening. I think, you know, we're still in a very early phase. I mean, you know, people expect others to sort of say, okay, well, I'm going to start this program, and then you know, you want to bear fruit and you want to get results the next year. We've been at this now for 2 or 3 years with various coaches, with various players, and so it takes time to build a program like this. You know, don't forget, you know, we keep comparing ourselves to, you know, international teams and organizations, and we keep saying, well, this is, you know, come on, what are you guys doing? Well, the criticism is fair because it takes a lot of effort to operate like this, but we can't compare ourselves to European and Central American clubs and anyone else. We have 5, 10, 15, 20 more years of development. But the good thing is the program and the interest and the motivation is there. So I don't think we can slip and go back. The only thing we can do is continue to build on what we're doing right now.
Mm-hmm.
And not to be critical of first of all, what our ambitions are and about how we go about doing it. We just need steady improvement year after year to build more consistency, to build more professionalism, to build more capability in administration. And the players will be there. I think that that's not an issue for us.
Absolutely. Like we said before, there's always going to be kids that want to play soccer.
But, yeah.
Oh, absolutely. But this affiliation with the TFC has only been around, 2 years? Maybe this is the third season. You're not just building a team. You're building a program like you're talking about, right?
Exactly. Well, we're really, again, thrilled and proud to be a partner with Toronto FC. And you can see what they've been able to do in the last 3 years in terms of how they've changed their culture and what they've done to build an amazing program. But they have resources, okay?
Yeah, it's
and
a
they
different.
Can put and they can put a lot of things in play. And you know, and they know that they don't just hand out these affiliations to anybody. I think that they know that we have the potential to do some things right. They don't micromanage what we do. They provide some guidance, provide assistance and some help, and of course a lot of presence. And we'll continue to increase that presence. We're gonna announce camp dates and ID identification dates for May and June and September and October very shortly, where they'll be have a significant presence again. We're also, you know, we'll work together on a couple of joint fundraisers. They're very supportive, and we continue to work on that relationship.
Yeah, well, establishing relationships like that is incredibly important, of course, and having their backing is obviously great. Obviously, see something in the Windsor team. But as we talked about before, some guys had committed to the Lancers and even lost some last year, which really affected the team. Do you guys have, like, a relationship with them, or are you guys working together, or is it just the guys kind of committing to the team while they're going to school?
Well, I mean, we feel like we have a strong relationship with University of Windsor, and we know where we stand in terms of players' interest and motivation. And like, I'm a big supporter of high school soccer, I'm a big supporter of college soccer. I just think that we need to figure out how to make it work for both as opposed to just one. And so there's some changes at the University of Windsor right now, as you know, and we'll be speaking to the new coach, Ryan Mendoca, about how we can work together to minimize the impact on a program that's very supportive of the University of Windsor. And so we've got some work to do, but I recognize the conflicts there, you know, and there should be priorities. And you know, and so we have to try to figure out how to minimize the impact on our side without, you know, asking too much of the university. And, you know, We need to focus on their program. We need to focus on ours and figure out what's beneficial for both. But there's not an issue there. It's just a matter of figuring out how to cooperate.
Mm-hmm. There's definitely like a big recruitment and turnover going on with both those teams as well. So, and I think the whole soccer community in Windsor is all kind of one. So obviously I'm not sure to say if there's any like problems there, but
No. We've got that. I mean, look, there's a really good example of what, of a program in the Ontario soccer, I mean, in the OUA, the Ontario University Association, and that is York. York has a head coach that's responsible for both programs, and he seems to figure it out, right? He has a team in League One, and he also coaches the university team, and it's, and there doesn't seem to be a conflict. Just because you have different people engaged in managing two different programs doesn't mean that you can't have agreement and make sure that you work and cooperate. So anything is possible. It's just figuring out, you know, what values we're going to promote and how we're going to.
Mm-hmm. So we'll talk a little bit about last year just very quickly, and then I want to jump into what we might expect from this year. But just going back a little bit, Jamar Kelly of the Windsor TFC was named one of the Westby Awards recipients for the Soccer Award. What can you say about his recognition?
Well, you know, we love Jamar. Jamar is an outstanding athlete. He should be playing. Frankly, in my mind, you know, if he was discovered earlier in life, he'd be playing right now in a professional league somewhere, and that's you know, it takes three parties to make sure that's successful. It takes the athlete, it takes the organization and the club that he's a part of, and it takes others' interest in from outside. I don't think we've done enough for players like Jamar and to expose them, but we want Jamar to continue to have that chance. But you know, these kids are at a stage in their life now where they're figuring out what they want to do for the rest of their life. You know, they're 24, 25, 26-year-olds that they've figured out that they're not going to make a living playing soccer. And they move on, how to balance their interest in playing the sport and contributing and making, and you know, and feeling that they can still get some value from playing, but at the same time allow them some freedom so they can actually work on the personal career aspirations that have nothing to do with soccer. Mm-hmm. So in our program, in our league, we've got to find a balance of that, recognize what their needs are and be able to meet them, at the same time benefit from their terrific careers. And that's not just Jamar, that's Mike Thiel, that's Kyle Vizorakis, and there are a couple of other guys. You know, we still like to think that Steve Adamola is ours, but he was bent on playing out in the most competitive environments and competing for trophies. And of course, we respect that. And he had a chance to play with Oakville, and is now has a chance to play in the Canadian Championship. So, you know, it's a great story.
That's
and
awesome.
We'd like to create more stories like that.
Yeah, that's awesome that they're able to do that, and it's great they're getting that recognition, that Jamar's getting the recognition that he deserves, obviously.
Of course.
So, yeah, I mean, eventually it'll all come together, right? But now we're going to jump into this year. This season is set to start this Saturday, April 29th. Obviously, weather permitting, we'll see what happens. But anticipating that game does go down, I want to know what your thoughts might be of the team right now going into the season. And I know you guys held tryouts just last month.
Yeah.
Are we going to be seeing a new team, and how do you feel about them?
Yeah, I think it'll be a fairly new team. We're still working through some of the registrations and interests between different parties to make sure that we have the guys that we need in place. But I think at this moment, we've got some work to do with a fairly new group of faces.
Absolutely.
And more local guys that, again, once again, can be committed for the entire season. So we're going to take a chance on maybe not the faces and the names that you've known in the past, but they are going to be there committed for the full year. And so that training and development, the fitness that's required, and the kind of chemistry you want to build isn't going to be broken up halfway through the year because we're going to lose players to university. You know, we're going to try to minimize the impact of that, and that's why some of the new faces. It'll be very, very interesting to see how they compete and how they perform as we get into it.
Like you said, you kind of have to figure out how this is going to work, and it seems like you want to have a set amount of committed players, local players, and then a group of, you know, maybe outside guys. And again, it's not always who they are, what they can do. It's about consistency and about how they play together, right?
Right, right. So we will have some pretty interesting new guys. Well, they're not new. I mean, they're known to the community, but they haven't played with us in the past. So Coretti, Adepitano, who plays at St. Clair College, is a pretty strong character player. There's a kid that, you know, most people don't know, but you'll see that he's got some potential. His name is Namir Stowe. He played for Macedonia last year. Hasan Zaitan, he played for the Serbs, I think, last year, and he's got a good little midfielder. We've got an outstanding player from Mexico, who, by way of the U.S. college soccer system, who's moved to the area. His name is Leonardo da Silva. You're going to see this kid plays really, you know, I think he's outstanding. He's got employment opportunities, and so it'll be some fairly new faces.
So, like you said, there's still going to be a lot of work to do with this new team, but have you been able to see any action from them yet? It's not mistaken, there hasn't been any preseason action, but what have you seen from them so far?
No, I was encouraged. I wasn't sure how it was going to be like. I saw them playing an inter-squad game, our U18 team, scrimmaged them, you know, and on that team, we've got two or three guys that are really eager to come up and help out when the schedule permits, and that's Paul DeMio and Max. And also, who else is there? Jackson. These are kids, the names in our team that are, ready to come up and play, but they're going to be strong. So we had an intra-squad game, and they were. It was encouraging to see the strength and the pace and the skill of guys that they've been working together for almost a month, but still. You know, just to see them move the ball around, it was encouraging. Now, again, Unionville, our first team, is going to be a huge test because I think, you know, they're basically bringing players in that are deemed, you know, semi-professional and actually professional. So they'll be a strong team, and it'll be a really big test for us right out of the gate.
And that's the Saturday, right?
Sunday at 2:00, the 29th, at the University of Windsor. I'm hoping the weather's going to be fantastic and that a bunch of our folks will show up and come out there and watch the game.
Absolutely. Are you guys going to be playing games at the university now? Or are you not at the McHugh Field anymore?
Yeah, the first two games are going to be at the University of Windsor because we can't get out on a grass field until the middle of May. However, because of some other limitations of McHugh, we prefer to play at the university because all of the amenities are there.
Absolutely.
In other words, to play in League One, you can't just show up and play. You got to have you got to have a professional standard, and that is scoreboard, sound system, locker rooms that have certain features, the ability to do social media. Those things do not exist at McHugh, and we keep working with the city to kind of upgrade that, but that's taking some time.
And the alumni field has all that stuff. So
alumni field has all that stuff, and it's, you know, show up and make sure that, you know, you set the field up and away we go.
Yep. So we could see a whole new atmosphere for the TFC this year.
That's right. Well, I mean, we played at the university last year.
Oh, the entire season.
The entire season, and we're going to continue to kind of, you know, make that an improved routine. And, of course, you know, the University of Windsor has been terrific with us and supporting us and offering the time and the space that we need to operate.
Awesome, man. Well, if I'm not mistaken, it's supposed to be pretty clear this weekend. Fingers crossed. And hopefully we can get out there and enjoy some TFC action.
Love to see as many university students and our local community fans out there cheering on these lads.
Okay, welcome back to Wind City Sports. I'm your host, Drake DeMore.
Now we're going to begin to break down some local sports news in the last week, kicking things off with our Windsor Clippers Junior B lacrosse team. They kicked things off on the road last Thursday with their season opener against the London Blue Devils at Lambeth Arena, and they took that game 16-7, a very decisive victory for the Clippers there. We had hat-tricks from both Jake Rosa and Brendan Maia. It was a good way to start off the season for both the team and both those guys. From there, they headed over to Forest Glade Arena for their home opener on Saturday night. Game started at 7 p.m., and it was a tough, close loss to the Elora Mohawks, 5-4. Both Maia and Rosa putting up 2 goals each yet again. They had a busy first week. From there, they traveled the next day on Sunday, April 22nd, out to Wallaceburg at the Wallaceburg Memorial Arena, picking up their second win of the year with a 16-12 final. Rosa, along with Chase Kavanaugh and Braden Maia, were the standouts of this game. Rosa had another hat trick, Kavanaugh with 4 goals and 4 assists, and Maia with 4 goals and 3 assists. Their next game is at home this Saturday against the Six Nations Rebels. Game time is set for 7 p.m. at Forest Glade Arena. The Windsor Rogues Rugby Club will be kicking off their season very shortly, but before that gets started, they're going to be hosting their second annual Rose City Tournament next Saturday and Sunday, May 5th and 6th, over at AKO Field. It's an invitational tournament featuring all sorts of teams from around Ontario and Michigan. So come on out to the AKO Field down on Bernard Road, just past Herman High School there, to check out some free rugby action. I'll give you an idea of what to expect from the season this year. They have 2 sets of senior teams that will be playing, kicking things off the following week on May 12th, which will actually be an away game in Niagara, and then returning home the following week, May 26th, they will be playing the Fergus Highland in a doubleheader at 1:30 and 3 p.m. at the same place, same location. I guess we have 2 different times there. AKO Park, right down the road from Herman High School on Bernard Road, right by the AKO Community Center, formerly known as AKO Community Center, now known as the John Atkinson Memorial Community Center. Next week on the show, we will be talking to Josh DeSantis, a team member of the Windsor Rogues Rugby Club, and a player too. I believe we're going to be sitting down and chatting with him soon. We'll find out all about the tournament, what to expect from the team, and what to expect from the team for the regular season, and just, again, break down what is going on with the Windsor Rogues rugby, explaining some things that may be foreign to you. We interviewed one of their players, Nish Rama, last year. Actually, a great interview. Go back and listen to that. He's from New Zealand. He lives here in Windsor now. And he likes to go out and play some rugby, which is their national sport. So check out that interview back from last year. And that is going to be all for this edition of Wind City Sports. Listen to brand new episodes of Wind City Sports every Thursday, live at 8 p.m. on CJAM 99.1 FM in Windsor and Detroit. Following the airing of our new episodes, you can hear the podcast version immediately on SoundCloud, iTunes, wherever podcasts are found. You can also check us out on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter for all sorts of updates, guest announcements, exclusive photos and videos, and tons of stuff. All news going on in sports in and around Windsor. We are also on We Podcast, the local Windsor podcast subscription service, and we have a new YouTube account. You can search us up on there, give us a subscribe, and we have all sorts of interviews and videos on there from the past and present. You can follow me on Twitter at Drake DeMore, and on Instagram, same thing, and on our SoundCloud and iTunes and all that, Google Play Music, anywhere podcasts are found. Go back and listen to some recent interviews with interviewees like TJ Laramie, the MMA fighter out of Windsor, Ontario, TKO's featherweight champion, Spider Jones, a former amateur boxer who is good friends with Muhammad Ali, former WWE champion Alberto Del Rio, former NBA and NCAA basketball champion Derek Anderson. He played for the Miami Heat in 2006 when they won the gold. Kelly Michael Branton, a local national powerlifter. He's Windsor's own and one of Canada's strongest men. And again, stay tuned for some upcoming episodes. Next week, we have Josh DeSantis of the Windsor Rogues Rugby Club. And soon, we will have former Windsor Spitfire Craig Dunnick. But until next time, smell you later.